Hey, welcome back to the Sports Ticket. We are joined now by the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and that is Mark Johnson. Now, normally, we're talking via phone, and I have to picture how good-looking Mark Johnson is, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, but today...
Now you can find out that's not true.
Yes, absolutely. No, I'm kidding. Hey, there's a reason we're all on radio, right?
There you go. That's right. Absolutely. Voices for radio.
Yeah. So what's the deal, man? What are you doing in North Central Kansas? Trying to find some birds?
Well, we're trying to find some birds, and I have to apologize for my chauffeur getting me over here. He told me we're supposed to be here at 8:50 this morning. Well, okay, fine. I don't know where anything is, right?
Sure.
And then so John and I are out hunting, and we jump in the truck, and we're driving and driving. We go by 8:50. I said, are we getting close? Yeah, we're pretty close. All right. So we drive a little more. I said, well, how far is it? Oh, it's another 15, 20 minutes. Well, wait a second. I thought we were supposed to be there at 8:50. So here we come rolling in at almost 9:30, I guess. But
not supposed to be in Downs at 8:50. Yeah. You're supposed to be here at 8:50.
Good to see you guys.
It is good to see you. Yeah. So you have a little bit of break between basketball games so you could come out here, right?
Yeah, it's we're back in Boulder right now. We've got finals going on.
Okay.
And so they take a break for that. Mm-hmm. You know, right now back in Boulder, I'm not sure we're paying attention to anything but Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
But hey, before we get to that, you know, I dealt with Mike Leach quite a bit when he was in the Big 12. Well, when I got to Colorado in 2004, Mike was still in Texas Tech at that time. Mm-hmm. And they'd been rolling along and were very good, obviously, with that air raid offense. And Gary Barnett and Mike Hankowitz at the time, who was the defensive coordinator for Colorado, they had Mike's number. Mm-hmm. Mike is rolling over everybody except for Colorado. They couldn't figure out what Mike Hankowitz was doing defensively. And I got to know Mike a number of times. You know, the great stories, you told the one from Lincoln Riley and some of the others. I'm sitting at a Big 12 media day one day, and Mike would walk in. All the coaches would walk in. They walk up to the podium, right, to do their kind of media scrum. Mike would walk in, grab a chair, and sit down right in the middle of us. And so we're all just kind of sitting like guys. You're shooting the breeze with Mike Leach. And all of a sudden his phone rings, and he looks down at it, and he goes, oh, I better take this. So he picks it up, and he's having some conversation about this and that, and you're like, What is he doing? Finally hangs up after, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes. Didn't talk for an hour that time, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it was his wife, and they were talking about what they're going to have for dinner that night. I mean, you know, but he was just that kind of guy where he would take the call. Everyone else would think, oh, I'll call my wife back in 15 minutes.
No, right.
He'd take the call. One of the great personalities in this day and age of sports where everybody is Lincoln Riley-esque. And what I mean by that, they're good coaches, but they're very homogenized and very corporate, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Mike Leach was a unique human being. He was brilliant, altered football with the air raid offense, and just a great personality. I mean, who hasn't seen the stuff where, you know, he's talking about it on television during a post-game interview, his favorite, you know, Halloween candy, mm-hmm. or, you know, which mascot in the Pac-12 would dominate, mm-hmm. you know, which, by the way, was the Buffalo, he decided.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's very, very sad for a guy that's only 61 years old.
Yeah, it really is. And he had wedding advice, too, with a reporter recently.
My goodness, yes.
That was good stuff. And now they have a bowl game coming up January the 2nd. And, I mean, they still have a game to play. That's going to be tough on the team and the players, I would imagine.
Yeah, it certainly will be. But, yeah, we miss guys like that because that's a dying breed, guys that are willing to be themselves. You know, when I was at Syracuse, Jim Boeheim's one of those guys. But it's we're seeing less and less of that. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got one in Colorado right now that's willing to be himself, Deion Sanders. But you don't see many of those guys.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about Deion, Prime Time. I remember
Coach Prime, as we have to call
Coach
him.
Coach Prime now? Okay, yeah. Coach Prime.
He has to be called Coach Prime.
Okay, or something horrible will happen to me? Okay, all right. So
maybe not you. But
not you, but you? Me. Okay, yeah. I got it. I remember watching him. Of course, many people my age remember watching him play. Flamboyant, arrogant, cocky, but he backed it up, and he could back it up. What's he like as a coach? And I know you haven't been around him since he was at Jackson State, but you've got a feel for what he's like, because obviously you can't be super flamboyant and super cocky as a coach. He's obviously tempered that down. He's grown up. He's matured. But yet there's still that confidence you can see from the guy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I was in a meeting with him on let's see. He got hired a week ago. I'm trying to remember how everything happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. It was like day two or three after he was hired, and spent some time around him. And I guess it was late last week. Would have been a Friday last week now that I think about it. And, you know, when you get him in that setting, he's very businesslike, very personable. Mm-hmm. But I've been saying all along, Colorado didn't hire a coach. We hired a brand and a celebrity. who happens to coach.
Right.
Okay. And so he comes in with that larger than life belief in himself. Like, and I understand that. Athletes at that level, when you talk, you know, the greatest athletes of all time, and he certainly is one of those.
But
throw the names out there. Jim Thorpe and, you know, Bo Jackson and, mm-hmm. and whoever, Jesse Owens, whoever you want to throw in that conversation. He's in that conversation. Mm-hmm. And so he's that kind of human being. Everyone I've ever dealt with, you know, the Michael Jordans, the Wayne Gretzky's of the world, the, you know, Tiger Woods, whoever it is, they've got a supreme belief in themselves. And if they didn't, they wouldn't be where they are. So I understand where that comes from. You know, people have said, you know, what do you think Colorado's going to do next year? And I said, well, I guarantee if Deion Sanders is sitting here, he'd be talking about winning a championship. That's the way they think.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't allow themselves to think any other way. But along with that kind of expectation then becomes, you know, the celebrity aspect of Deion Sanders,
mm-hmm.
which... You know, think about it this way. If you're a 16, 17-year-old kid, mm-hmm. and you get a phone call from Lincoln Riley or, you know, Nick Saban or, you know, pick your guy out there, Kirby Smart, any of the top coaches in America, that's pretty heady stuff.
Yeah.
And then you hang up, and 5 minutes later, a cultural icon calls you.
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely a different deal, which is why, I mean, look at the young man here from Kansas.
Dylan Edwards from Derby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was committed to Notre Dame for quite some time, firmly committed,
mm-hmm.
and he gets a phone call from Coach Prime, and next thing you know, he's thinking about, well, maybe I should decommit, and then he does, and now he's on his way to Colorado, and he's doing that. And, you know, what's he got now? The players of the year from Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska have all now committed mm-hmm. to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brings this kind of celebrity that nobody else has. And I got asked, I was doing a show on ESPN, and they asked me, you know, is there anybody else that would have that kind of appeal? And I said, well, I suppose if you hired Oprah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who else brings that kind of celebrity cachet to the table? And you don't find that kind of thing very often. Maybe if Peyton Manning decided he wanted to be a college football coach, he'd come with something along that lines. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Peyton's not nearly as cool as Deion is.
No. And not nearly as athletic, even though he's a really good quarterback.
That's right,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mark Johnson, the voice of Colorado Buffaloes, in studio today on the Sports Ticket. We have seen great athletes in various sports try to be coaches and has not worked out well at all, because as some of those players have talked about that try to become coaches and others that have played for those great athletes, there's a whole standard that they're used to that these other players are not. And sometimes it can be so hard on these players that they are just not going to adapt to those expectations, because you know, there's a reason Michael Jordan's not a head coach in the NBA. There's, you know, Larry Bird was probably the only one I can think of that had some success in the NBA as a great player. You usually see the role players like a Steve Kerr and others. You know, Magic Johnson was not a great head coach.
Nope.
Isaiah Thomas was not. But Deion Sanders was, as you just said, a two-sport athlete who played Major League Baseball and NFL at the same time, like Bo Jackson did. Maybe not quite as, I thought Bo was the greatest two-sport athlete I've ever seen, obviously, but Deion was right there in the conversation, as you mentioned. But what about that? A great athlete who has such high expectations and has great God-given ability, who made the most of it. Well, obviously not every player is going to have that.
You know, one of the most difficult things, I think, for anybody at that level is, and I heard Barry Bonds say this one time, he said he really struggled when he coaches because he says, I don't understand why you can't see what I see, right?
Mm-hmm.
They see the game differently. I mean, anybody ever watch Magic Johnson or Bird or, you know, Gretzky or one of those guys play? They see it differently. When you're a great baseball player, you know, Ted Williams or Barry Bonds or those kind of hitters, Tony Gwynn's, they see it differently than other people do. And so that's always the great struggle for guys like that. So that is an interesting aspect of this, because not many ever are. Most of the time, it's always kind of that average guy who had to struggle and fight and learn the game and understand the game. They're the ones who become great coaches because they couldn't do it, so they had to think it.
Right.
So he is unique in that regard. And I wonder a little bit, as I watch kind of the organization of what he does, I think what he kind of sets himself up as the CEO, I think.
Yeah.
Right? And he has everybody comes in underneath him, and then he organizes everything, and he's the face and the energy behind it. Now, certainly on game day, he's involved, but he's got a lot of people that are working the football aspect of it. You know, Mike Zimmer allegedly is coming in. The former Minnesota Vikings coach is going to be in kind of a general manager's type role to oversee football operations. He's got the, you know, as reports are right now, nothing's been confirmed, the head coach at Kent State, the, you know, offensive-minded guy coming in. You've got the number two guy in defense from Alabama coming in as your DC. And so the staff he's putting together is quite impressive, if you believe the report. So I think he understands he's a brand. He, you know, everything's on the record with him because he's always got a camera crew around. You know, we're in that meeting and there's cameras and microphones all around us while you're in there. So he lives that, and the image is everything that he brings to the table. But he's very smart. You can tell the way he's organizing things. He's really setting it up to be successful you know, from the X's nose standpoint, that I think those guys are kind of carrying out for him.
Deion, hot commodity at Jackson State with all the success he had in his 5 years there. Did you, when you first heard, and be honest, when you first heard Colorado Deion Sanders, I think a lot of people are like, yeah, whatever, he's going to go to something bigger and better. Are you surprised that he is coming to Colorado?
Well, the first time I heard it, the first thing I thought was, it doesn't make sense. Right.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, I know he played it for the 49ers, but his history is always southeast, southern part of the country, right? Played for the Cowboys, played for the Falcons, played for the Braves, as you mentioned.
Florida
State and college. And so everything had been down there. And so I didn't see how this makes sense from that standpoint. But as it turned out, Rick George, athletic director of Colorado, is the only one that was forward thinking enough to make the offer. Nobody else has actually made an offer to him. Mm-hmm. And so I think there was some appreciation from, you know, Coach Prime's perspective that somebody's taking that chance on me. And then, you know, from other aspects of this job, you know, initially I thought, well, okay, that's nice. But then he talked about the press conference, the fact that now with him, four of the last five coaches at Colorado have been black.
Yeah, right.
Including three in a row. Mm-hmm. Okay, John Ambry was the first. Then we had Mike McIntyre, who's now at Florida International. And then it was Mel Tucker, and that lasted for a cup of coffee, of course. Then he went to Michigan State. Then Carl Durrell, now Deion Sanders. And Deion appreciated the opportunity that was being given there. And so I think there's a lot of things that right now have him attached to Colorado, and we'll see how long that lasts. We hope it's for quite some time, and he has great success, obviously, from my standpoint. But the more I thought about it, it made sense in some respects, from the fact that Colorado was in desperate need of somebody to come in and make this program relevant.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest about it. Colorado in 2022 was, I think you can make a very strong argument, the worst FBS team in America, and went from the most irrelevant program in America to maybe the most relevant now. I saw Fox Sports or somebody put out this morning their top, you know, five or whatever it was programs to watch in 2023, and number one was the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah.
And so he's done it. He's made it relevant. Now he's got to make it real on the football field.
Do you think this is, I know this is hard to answer because you haven't had a chance to get to know him very much yet, but I think many people on the outside would say this is a stepping stone job for something even bigger for Prime.
Well, I've been asked that. And, you know, when I've said to CU fans when they've asked, I said, really, you're thinking about the end before it's even begun.
Yeah, right. Right. That's what we all do, don't we, nowadays?
We all do that. But what I thought to myself was, well, is that possible? Sure, it's possible. Mm-hmm. But right now, he's making an awful lot of money. Okay, yeah. So Colorado went from one of the lowest paying schools in the Pac-12 to one of the top paying schools in the Pac-12. They've opened up the coffers and said, what do you need to get this done? Mm-hmm. Let's do it. You might have heard the quote by Rick George, athletic director, where they asked, how are you going to pay for this? He says, well, I'm not sure, but we'll figure that out eventually.
Yeah,
right?
I did. I thought that was funny.
Well, what we've seen, you know, I've been living that way forever.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
I'm not sure I'm paying for this, but we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
What we've seen already, and on day number one, so last Monday, a little over a week ago, I work for Learfield, so I work for the university and Learfield Sports.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Learfield Sports is the marketing arm, and you hear, you know, all the schools here in Kansas.
Yep.
You know,
they got KU and K-State,
exactly,
too.
Exactly right. So I talked to our guys at Buffalo Sports Properties, which is a local arm, and I said, what's your Monday like? And they said, we have heard from almost 40 companies that we could never get a call from or a meeting with, who have called this week, national companies, and said, hey, how can we get involved with Colorado football?
Yeah.
Talk to the ticket office. In day number one, over 2,000 new season ticket applications were filled out.
Mm-hmm.
The fundraising arm of the university, said the phone was ringing nonstop, off the hook.
Yeah.
Every hotel room in the Boulder area is sold out for next football season already.
Wow.
Right? If you can't get a room, they're going to cost you $800-900 right now.
Wow.
So you're seeing the money come rolling in already. That's how they're going to pay for it. So long answer to your short question here is, everything is being laid out in front of him to be successful, on top of the fact that Boulder's kind of a cool place and a beautiful place to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why not there? It's been, you know, you've won, championships have been won there before.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do it again, it's a fantastic place to live.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be a stepping stone.
Right. And, of course, when new coaches come in, typically your roster gets turned over quite a bit. Yeah. And it doesn't, I mean, he sounds like he's being pretty bluntly honest with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some controversy about that video we saw when he first met with his team.
Yep.
I didn't necessarily take it the way a lot of people did. I thought it was a challenge to the guys in the room. I thought what he was saying is, listen, you're down here, we're going to get up here, and if you can't handle that or be part of the commitment, then you better jump in the portal. That's the way I took it, as a challenge for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could that have maybe not been released from a video standpoint? That way nobody sees, you know, it's that old line about you don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I was a college athlete. Yeah, I've had coaches talk to me that way. That's kind of common, you know, parlance in sports. Yeah. We talk that way. We get brutally honest. There are very few businesses. You don't really don't walk into, you know, your sales office or something, or your, you know, if you work at a, you know, a mechanic shop or something, and talk in those terms to people. We do that in sports, though. We get brutally honest with each other. Mm-hmm. And so it's best, I think, if sometimes that's not shared.
Yeah.
And so maybe that would have been best. But in terms of the message, I didn't necessarily have a problem with it.
Mark Johnson, voice of Colorado Buffalo, is our guest today on the Sports Ticket in studio after going 1-for-37, hitting birds. Is that what John Bowden told me? Well, at least he didn't go 0-for. That's good.
So I just want the record of the show, though.
You got one.
Three birds were shot yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right.
We didn't find either pheasant we shot. They got down to the deep African grass out there. We couldn't find them.
Maybe they pulled a Mike Leach and had a fake play script, and so they faked their death, and you actually didn't do anything.
We came home with one sad little quail, and I put it in a Ziploc bag, and it's in John's freezer. How small they are. Yeah. One little tiny quail breast, and I want you to know that I'm the guy that got it.
All right, so, right.
Yeah, I didn't go 0-for yesterday. Somebody else in the room went 0-for, not me.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Okay, so let's jump now. Nebraska and Colorado, of course, are going to play next year. So we're talking about Coach Prime, but Nebraska is excited about and so this can be in Colorado, first home game, week two of the season, I know, at least for Nebraska. And so there's gonna be, can you imagine, I mean, the buzz about that one's already going, and imagine what it's gonna be like right up to game time when you've got a new head coach, Matt Rhule, who's been very successful wherever he's been except for the National Football League, and both programs are excited about their new hire.
It's gonna be electric that day. So we open up next year, Colorado does, at a preseason top five team, I would think, in TCU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we opened up in Fort Worth the week before. I don't know who the Huskers have gotten week one. But, yeah, think about that. So the first game for Coach Prime in Boulder is the old rivalry with the Big 7, Big 8, Big 12, Nebraska Cornhuskers, Matt Rhule. I don't think Folsom Field – and by the way, that's also the beginning of the 100th year of Folsom Field, a big celebration planned for next year for the great stadium there at Colorado. And so you want to talk about electric.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that place can be able to hold what happens that day.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I don't know. I think we got to work out some connections, some play-by-play voice over there with either Colorado or Nebraska and see if we can sneak into that game. What do you say, John Bowden, Mark Johnson? What do you say?
Yeah, he's already mentioned
– he's already worked on it, hasn't he?
He's sitting right behind me the booth, I think, that game happens.
Got to use he sets you up with the birds, and you set him up in the booth.
Yep, that's right.
I like it. What about the future of the Pac-12? I mean, you and I, we've talked about this off and on the last couple of years. Conference realignment, of course, Texas and OU are going to the SEC maybe as soon as 2024 after that came out the other day, which is not a big surprise. USC, UCLA don't seem to be a fit in the Big Ten geographically, of course, but neither is Rutgers. So what about the future of the Pac-12? Where does it sit now? And, you know, I personally wouldn't mind seeing Colorado come back over here to the Big 12. That'd be pretty cool. We'd see you even more often.
There are a lot of fans would like that, too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We're going to find out here, I think, in the next what's the date today? 13th?
Yeah.
I think it's the 16th or 17th, whenever the California legislature is going to be voting on that whole UCLA thing.
Okay.
I think they're still going to the Big Ten, but there's a lot of pushback in the state of California as a result of, you know, UCLA, or USC, rather, doesn't have to deal with that. They're a private institution. Mm-hmm. UCLA is still connected to Cal and all the other, you know, University of California system schools, and so there's an issue there. My guess is they leave. Don't be shocked if San Diego State comes into the league. I think that's kind of a done deal, ultimately. If they need a second, I don't know who that might be. UNLV, maybe. I don't know. Fresno State, I've heard that, you know, rumbling around as well. I think that one of those kind of makes sense. Right now, they're working on the new media rights deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the early indications are it's going to be pretty positive. Okay. When I said this last week, I said it on one of the national shows that I did, I said, think about right now, George Kliakoff, the commissioner for the Pac-12, is working on a deal. I said, you don't think having Deion Sanders in your league adds value?
Oh, yeah.
And the host I was on would kind of poo-pooed the idea. And about 2 days later, George Kliakoff came out and said, well, having Deion here certainly adds value to that deal.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got, you know, a guy like, you know, Deion Sanders coming in, all of a sudden that adds star power to the deal they're going to have. And so, you know, and I we don't have time to get into the depths of why the old deal was bad, but it really came down to there's different tiers to these deals. The tier one stuff throughout college football is all relatively close. Mm-hmm. SEC, Big Ten, everyone thinks the SEC and Big Ten are way ahead of everybody. From a tier one standpoint, it's not that different. Mm-hmm. It comes within a couple million dollars a year per school. Where you get down to the Tier 3 stuff is where the Pac-12 network really failed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be taken care of. And I know they've been talking with Amazon. You know, maybe they start looking at going just streaming. I mean, yeah. What are we seeing? What is it, Thursday night
Thursday
football?
Night NFL football is Amazon.
Yep. And so that's a possibility. That's where this is all going anyway.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so maybe the Pac-12 gets ahead of the curve here and jumps on it and just cuts the cord and says we're going total streaming, which is accessible to everybody that way,
right,
unlike it is right now. And I think there could be a lot of money involved. So if that does happen and the money is where they think it's going to be, and then the Pac-12 is sitting on a pretty solid financial foundation.
You and I talked about the commissioners previously, the Pac-12, and then, of course, the Big 12 has not had the greatest leadership the previous two. But yeah. Brett Yormark's come in, and I, once again, I like guys that are, you know, just being honest and upfront. He's not made any bones about it. We're open for business. That doesn't mean we're just going to expand. But he says he wants that fourth time zone.
Yeah.
How do people in the Pac-12 feel about those type of comments?
Well, I think it kind of what it does, it raises a red flag, number one. It's a declaration of, hey, we're in a battle here.
Sense of urgency,
yeah.
It?
There's no doubt. And so you better get your ducks in a row because, you know, as we've all seen, and you can't tell me there weren't conversations. I have no firsthand knowledge, but there was way too much smoke for there not to be fire.
Yes.
About the four corner schools, right? The two Arizonas and Colorado and Utah. And there must have at least been some inquiry there about, you know, would this work and what would it look like and how can we, you know, secure if you're the Big 12 that time zone. And so I do think there's some activity there. And so that's why this is also fascinating. Now, Colorado, it's good that they hired Deion Sanders because you don't want to continue to be laboring and be at the bottom of the food chain from a football standpoint when this all does happen. You want to be attractive. And right now having Deion Sanders there makes you very attractive. And so I think that adds to it. But, yeah, this thing's not done.
Yeah,
I mean, this, you better get ready. This thing is still going to happen. It's still going to be altered greatly. I still think college athletes will ultimately unionize, and then you're going to see revenue sharing, and then they just become employees that are professional athletes, and I do think it's all moving in that direction.
Aren't you glad that maybe you're not the play-by-play voice of USC or UCLA where you have to travel, and then if you, for some reason, would play Rutgers, dear Lord.
Think about it. I saw when that first news first came down, the equipment truck.
Yes.
Folks may not know this. Equipment trucks generally, for any one of our games, will leave on Wednesday. I think they take off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
They'll take off and make, you know, whatever trek they've got to make. The trek from Los Angeles to Piscataway, New Jersey, I think is 42 hours. So they're going to be leaving like on Monday or Tuesday for those games.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, you know, it's one thing for football and basketball, but think of
all
cross country
sports,
and swimming and tennis and soccer. And I mean, that becomes brutal because generally, and maybe your listeners don't understand this, most of the time football and basketball are flying charters.
Yes.
Everybody else is commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, UCLA basketball flies commercial.
Really?
Think of that. That's surprising when I found that out years ago.
Me,
yeah. But that becomes a totally different deal then for those kind of teams. And you think, you know, all we talk about in college athletics, we're so concerned about the student part of student athletes.
Such a bunch of who.
Really?
Yeah.
So now you're going to be flying kids all over the country. I mean, there was a couple of middle of November when football and basketball were crossing over. I flew across the country 5 times in 8 days. I was going back and forth from one end doing basketball and football. And it about wore me out.
Yes.
And I wasn't doing anything but flying, sleeping, and broadcasting over the course of those about 9 days that I did that. Well, these kids are going to go through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're bouncing back and forth. You're going from Los Angeles to Piscataway and back to Maryland, back at the Columbus. I mean, come on, man. That's insane. And I think it's a silly idea, but geography has nothing to do with conferences anymore.
And, oh, yeah, you don't have subjects to study. You're out of school. They have to be, you know, eligible and do this. And
that's
how
right.
do you stay on top of your studies? Yeah, like you said, it's a bunch of horse pucky in regards to caring so much about student-athletes, as we talked about before. Speaking of student-athletes in regards to name, image, and likeness, you know, you and I've talked about this before you've been on the show, and that is, you know, what kind of impact will it have? And in some cases, it's had really positive impact, and other cases maybe not so much. So let's kind of tie this together, two for one. The transfer portal, because I think it ties together, because some kids are transferring because they think they could make more at another university, name, image, and likeness, or there's an offer out there. It's like, okay, I'm second string here. I could eventually be first string, but I could go there and be first string and have a deal, or I got a car arrangement already, or I'm going to get to drive my own car, or whatever it might be. Talk about how that's impacted college sports so far, and do you think it has been a positive or a negative? Because the first thought initially was, this is going to kill college athletics.
Yeah.
Well, so far it has not.
It's, in my view, an extreme negative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Did you see the comments by the Washington State football coach a couple of days ago?
I did not.
How bad it's become.
Okay.
He talked about within their program the tampering that is going on. Now, we don't allow tampering in professional sports, right? Mm-hmm. In the NFL, if the Denver Broncos know that a player from the Kansas City Chiefs is coming up for free agency, they can't call him mm-hmm. and start talking to him. You can't do that, right?
The draft pick sometimes
exactly.
happens. Yeah.
Exactly. So there is extreme penalty for doing such a thing. Well, the coach at Wazoo was talking about the fact that he said, we've had head coaches calling our players. I know that it was late in the season, the interim head coach had found out at Colorado that two of our guys had been contacted by two of the schools in the Pac-12 and were already told from an NIL standpoint. By the way, NIL is never supposed to be used as enticement. Mm-hmm. It's not a... wait, I've got 50 grand a year for you here. Mm-hmm. You can come to my place. That's not the way NIL is supposed to work. It's supposed to work that I come in, I sign a scholarship agreement with you, I come in, I play college athletics, and then Bob's Bike Shop calls me up and says, hey, Mark, how would you like to do an ad for us? And they give me, you know, $500 a month. Right. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's not what's happening. It's become enticement. So it's right now it's totally the wild, wild west out there. The NCAA has totally dropped the ball on this, and they've turned a blind eye to it at this point. It is nonstop enticement. There's tampering going on. And this, it just can't end well. I've been saying it. I've argued with some coaches about this. There's a bunch of coaches I deal with that have just kind of thrown their hands up and said, well, that's the way it is. And I keep saying, you can't continue this way. You can't have different rules for everybody and have it be successful. Eventually, it starts to break down. And right now, you've got the haves and the have-nots. Now, you've always had some sense of that, but at least there was some structure you had to play within. Well, right now, I mean, did you know that... from what I understand, I think it's a TCU basketball team. Every player in the TCU basketball team, every scholarship player gets $50,000 a year.
Hmm.
Every one. Now, I've always wondered from you got a lot of business people listening to your station, right?
Yeah, right.
How many, any businessman or businesswoman out there that, you know, you got a limited budget, right? You don't have unlimited money. How many people are willing to keep throwing money and you realize I'm giving $50,000 to that guy on the end of the bench that never plays? What's the return on investment for me? Why do I keep doing this? There has to be a limit, which is why it almost has to go professional at this point. There's got to be some accountability and some structure to this. There's a reason in the NFL or Major League Baseball you have a salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have to stay within the same, you know, boundaries, if you will. And we can't, you know, one can't give a guy $125 million while the other one gives him $1 million. We can't do that because we all have a salary cap we got to deal with. And so there has to be some semblance of a level playing field in this. Otherwise, it really, I think you're right. It hasn't ruined it yet, but it's chipping away at it. And I'm afraid the foundation continues to be chipped away, and eventually we know what happens then, right?
Absolutely.
It falls. And so this has got to be addressed at some point in time. I keep being told that I'm Mr. Pie in the Sky, and I'm you know, Henny Penny and saying the sky is falling. Mm-hmm. I just think that I'm afraid if we could look in a crystal ball and say, what does it look like? If we don't do anything, what's it look like in 25 years? I don't like what I see.
Yeah,
that makes me nervous. You know, the other thing about this, Wade, is this. This is all driven by greed and envy.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Those used to be two of the seven deadly sins.
Yes.
Now we talk of them as if they're virtues.
Yes.
And that's concerning for me as well. Mm-hmm. When you're 17 years old, we hear high school kids right now getting million-dollar contracts. I've always believed first you learn, then you drop the L, right?
Yeah.
First you learn, then you earn. And I was doing a show at one point, and I'm debating whoever I was on with at the time, and the guy said, I was saying, you know, this doesn't turn out well. And he goes, you keep saying that. What basis are you saying that? And I said, have you ever watched Hollywood? Show me how many child stars who get fame and fortune ever turned out relatively normal.
Not very many at all.
Right. It's a disaster for them because they're not mature enough to handle this, and that's what I get concerned about. Mm-hmm. The other thing I've already seen in college athletics is when the money's not there, these young men and young women are looking at us like, where's my money?
Yeah.
Well, I should give you money.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm here.
Right. Or I'm better than this player, and he got a car and $100,000.
Right.
Why don't I get
Well, no, I'm just supposed to get money because this is who I am.
Right. Yeah.
Really.
Expect a handout.
Yeah. Well, guess what, Bobby? That's not going to continue in your life. When you're done at college, you're going to walk out, and no one's just going to be handing you money.
Welcome to the real world.
Exactly.
Then. Absolutely. Mark Johnson, voice of Colorado Buffalo, is our guest in studio here today on the Sports Ticket. Colorado basketball off to 5-5 start. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the prognosis for this team this year?
Well, exceptionally talented. Think of the three wins we've got right now. We got number 11 Tennessee, beat them in Nashville, and beat them soundly. Beat number 24 Texas Tech and beat the daylights out of them. Just blew out rival Colorado State last week by almost 30 points. It's a very talented team, very up and down team. To show you though how tough the schedule they played, how many 5-5 teams still have a net ranking in the 40s?
Probably not very many.
Buffs, I think, are 40. Last I checked, like 49th or something. So that tells you what kind of schedule they played. They played the bulk of all their games in non-conference away from home. That's why I was running across the country so much there a few weeks ago. And so very talented, very up and down for a young team. When they play well, they can play with anybody in the country. When they don't, you know, they stink it up, right? They look like John will be shooting pheasants, to be honest with you. They stick it up out there. So, yeah, really, really fun team. Very gifted point guard is, I think, is an NBA guy.
Yeah.
KJ Simpson, he was an Arizona commit when Sean Miller was let go down there. He changed schools and came to Colorado. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see him play some of the top teams. They really play to their competition many times. And, yeah, they can be a whole lot of fun.
All right, so now time for the really important questions.
All right.
And this is where John Bowden might get involved, and then everybody's going to turn the dial. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Is that what you're turning his microphone on over there?
Yeah, I actually was debating whether I turn it on or keep it off. I didn't know what to do here. All right, so important question right off the top.
All right.
Will the Broncos ever beat the Chiefs ever again in your or my lifetime?
What, do we have 14 now?
Yeah, 14 in a row. Chiefs tried to make, well, they did make it.
They did. You know, isn't it interesting the whole Russell Wilson trade?
I can't believe how much they gave up and then gave him the deal. I just never understood it for the beginning.
Invested $250 million in a quarterback, and here they sit. Right now, I think they're on slate to give Seattle the number two draft pick in the draft this year because, you know, they're down at the bottom of the league. In our lifetime, yes. You know what? Because Patrick Mahomes can't live forever, right?
Unfortunately, he cannot.
He has to retire at some point. Yes. So, yes, they will beat the Chiefs eventually.
But isn't it karma? Like, I grew up and I got tired of Elway killing the Chiefs. And every time in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs were leading and Elway would lead them back. Yep. And now it's just completely flipped. And now Bronco fans understand what we went through, you know?
Payback's tough.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I just hope you don't find a quarterback anytime soon, even when Mahomes right. is done. Best thing about Colorado, where you reside. What's the best thing about Colorado?
You know, I got there 19 years ago, and I'd lived all over the country. I lived on the West Coast. I was obviously out at Syracuse doing the Orangemen when they won the national championship, and so I was on the East Coast and everywhere in between. And I got there, and I'll tell you a very quick story. So we're in New York, and I get the job offer at Colorado. I'd gone out and done some Broncos games. That's how it kind of got the connections out there. And they offered me the job to be the sports director at KOA Radio in Denver and the voice of the Buffs. And we lay the map out, and I said, well, that's where the radio station is, and that's where Dove Valley where the Broncos are, and that's where the Buffaloes are. My wife points way up in the mountains. She goes, I'm going to live right there. I'm like, what is that? She says, that's Evergreen, Colorado. And I said, well, why? She says, it's the coolest name I've ever heard.
It's like, the coolest name.
I'm like, well, and she goes, Evergreen, Colorado. Just listen to that. Yeah. It just sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And I said, well, baby, it might be an armpit for all we know. I don't know what it's like. So we moved to the state. We rent a place in the city. And day three of the job or something, I'm in my office. She calls me and says, guess where I'm at? And I said, I have no idea. And she said, I'm in Evergreen. Guess where we're moving? Because it's a postcard, right?
Yeah.
And so we moved up there. And, you know, Colorado's got that reputation to be just unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's stunning.
It is.
And I live up in the foothills, and so I'm up in the mountains, and so that's the best thing about Colorado. It's just the outdoors and the nature and all the stuff I do, you know, from an outdoor standpoint, and riding and roping and hunting and fishing, it's the best.
My uncle, before Evergreen became big, he lived there.
Okay.
And so when I was young, I was there, and I can't imagine what it's like now. I haven't been there
since. It was just an old cowboy town back in the day.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
I ran the rodeo there for a while, Father's Day weekend. Come on out. It's a great little rodeo. Mm-hmm. And we always used to say it's hard to run a rodeo in a yuppie town because that's what's happened. All the folks in the city and Californians have decided.
Have migrated.
Hey, what a beautiful mountain town, right? Yeah. A little lake down there. And so let's move to up in the mountains, and then they want like the smell of livestock. It's a bad company.
You couldn't keep them out. You
know? I know.
And
we tried.
That's unfortunate. Best thing about Kansas?
Boy, I love the bird hunting. Mm-hmm. John's not too bad, but I'm not going to put him number one. I might put his wife and daughters number one.
Okay.
Then the hunting, and I come out and do bird hunting, and then do some turkey hunting.
Yeah.
And
then visit us.
You know, visit you guys. Uh-huh. I like Jiffy Burger there in Smith Center.
Yeah.
We got a pretty good Mexican restaurant there in town.
Mm-hmm.
Love the second cup breakfast place. And then I think John. So what is that, 9 or 10?
I think you're in the top 10, John. Congratulations. You cracked the top 10.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Best play-by-play announcer you've ever heard?
Vin Scully, hands down. There's not even a debate about it.
Yeah, he's amazing. He was amazing.
So when I was teaching, I taught both at Syracuse and at Colorado. And the first day of my classes, I would hand them, everyone would walk in, we'd sit down. Before I gave them the syllabus or anything, the outline, I'd hand them a transcript of Vin Scully calling Sandy Koufax's perfect ninth inning. okay? And I'd lay the transcript in front of each one of them, and I'd say, now I want you to read and listen. Don't say a word. And then I'd hit the audio recording of Vince Scully calling that. And if you've never heard it, you should really go just pull it up on YouTube. It is like poetry.
Yes.
It is spectacular. And one thing Vince Scully did in the middle of this, he started, and I asked him about this one time, he started giving the time. He was trying to set the historical reference to what was happening. Mm-hmm. And he'd say something along the lines, at 9:42 here in the City of Angels, mm-hmm. as Koufax steps onto the rubber, right? He runs his fingers through his jet black hair, leans over to take the side. These unbelievable picturesque phrases that he came up with. And as soon as we'd get done with the, I don't know how long it lasted, 13, 14 minutes, I'd say to the kids in the class, I'd say, that is what we're shooting for. None of you will ever do it that well.
Right.
Because right now, I guarantee you, none of you could sit down and think about it and write it that well.
Yes.
But that's Vince Scully, the best that's ever done it.
A couple of great ones. The call to Hank Aaron, home run.
Phenomenal.
Just let the crowd, yep. I mean, he was so good at going quiet at the right time. That's one thing I appreciate about announcers. Some of them scream so much and ruin yep. the whole moment. Yep. And the color commentators step all over the play-by-play guys. And some people tell us that's a great call. That's not a great call, in my opinion, at all.
No.
And the other one was, and this is in his later days as a broadcaster, but he's so good at telling stories. And that was the number 13. Have you seen that? Amazing on TV, telling the story of number 13,
yep.
and then ball two, and he just roll. I mean, so smooth, and it doesn't disrupt you from listening to the game. Normally, I think it would.
Now, I want you to think of something in today's day and age, the way announcers are. Vin Scully did the first three innings of Dodgers baseball by himself, simulcast on radio and television,
mm-hmm.
and then. In the fourth inning, Charlie Stratton and Rick Mundy would take over the radio side, and Vin would continue. He did television by himself. Nobody does that.
No.
But because it was Vin Scully. So I told Vin one time, I did quite a bit of Rockies baseball over the years, and I one day find myself in the media lunch line right behind Vin Scully.
Yeah.
And so I said, Mr. Scully, I'd like to introduce myself. And he was just gracious. You know, he had that... Hi, Mark, nice to meet you. And that kind of just sing-songy kind of way that he did it. And I told him the story of what I did with my class. And to show you how genuine he was, he got kind of a misty-eyed look in his eye. And he says, Mark, that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. And I,
wow.
You know, and then he proceeded to tell me about he had been golfing with one of the presidents. And I thought, well, that's what, again, you and I have nothing in common. You're golfing with the president. I'm not.
I'm
hunting
room.
With John.
That's right. Hunting with John, one of my top 10 things of all time. Best road trip you've ever experienced?
Oh, man. Well, you know, for me, that it has to also coincide with the greatest game I've ever called, just mm-hmm. because of the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2003, I get the job at Syracuse. And you your listeners might not know this, but you know what Syracuse Broadcasting is all about.
Uh-huh, absolutely. Right?
They call it in the industry the Syracuse Mafia.
Yeah.
Okay? Amazing
broadcasters.
I mean, let's see. Bob Costas, Dick Stockton, Mike Tirico,
yeah.
Dave Pasch, Sean McDonough. They're all Syracuse people. Mm-hmm. I get the job to do the Syracuse games in 2002, and I'm not a Syracuse grad, and it was a huge controversy. And then I get there, and I walk on campus the same time a guy named Carmelo Anthony does, who happens to be the number one recruit in America, Jerry McNamara, that group, and they end up winning the national championships. For me, the great
painfully against the Kansas Jayhawks, who missed about 100 free
a lot
throws.
Of people right now.
Yes, you are really twisting it deep when Jeff Graves and Nick Collison cannot hit free throws, which I knew was happening all year long. And a block in the corner that I still am convinced, if it not been blocked, we'd go into overtime.
It
but
probably would have.
Yeah.
And remember that year, the Big 12 was considered hands down the best conference in
America. Syracuse rolled through all of them.
And we came into Columbia, Missouri on a big Monday game and beat them during the regular season. And then the tournament beat Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, and Kansas.
Yeah.
And so that road trip for that Final Four, having never experienced that before.
Yeah.
And, you know, for any of us to do what I do for a living, the opportunity to call the last game of the year for the team that you're broadcasting for is what we all want to do.
Absolutely.
And so getting a chance to do that and having it in dramatic fashion, I mean, that's always – and then, you know, I'd never been to New Orleans before in Bourbon mm-hmm. Street. And,
oh, yeah, had a good time.
Fully, ferreting out to see what that's all about. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, it was a right road trip.
I still can't stand Jerry McNamara. He ruined everything that night.
6 3-pointers in the first half.
And they weren't, like, right behind the three-point line. They were from way downtown.
It was Steph Curry type before Steph Curry was Steph Curry.
It was. Yeah. I was just sitting there shaking my head going, you cannot be serious. Yep. I was like, there's no way Kansas win this game if he's going to hit shots like that.
Yep.
All right, time for the ultimate off-the-wall question. I've saved it. And John is here, too. So John can answer this question as well. All right, John? So be ready to step up to this mic so people can hear you. And, yes, I do have it on.
Okay.
All right. Mark Johnson, voice of Colorado Buffaloes, and John Bowden, you guys are co-stars, the headlining stars, co-stars of a movie. What would the movie be called? Not Dumb and Dumber. Somebody texted me that.
That would be,
That'd be us. It'd be Dusty and me, Dumb and Dumber.
That's a good one right there. Yeah. What would it be called?
What would the movie be called? And what would it be about? You know, would it be about hunting? Would it be about riding horses into the wild frontier? You know, into the mountains? I don't know, man. I mean, I have this vision of you two in a Western. That's the vision.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah.
I think something along the line of out over our skis or out kicked our coverage or something, simply because both of us are living on borrowed time, you know?
Yeah. What do you think, John?
So we're walking into CU Event Center last winter. He's got tickets for the family. We're going to watch KU in Colorado. And as we walk in and meet Brian Haney,
that was 2020.
He gave me a cowboy hat because I've always wanted a cowboy hat that he wore out. So I want to be Mark Johnson wearing a cowboy hat. So I've got his cowboy hat on and suit jacket I picked up, throw his briefcase over it. And people are going, "What do you think about the cancellation of the game, Mark Johnson?" I said, "I'm John." something to the effect of me being Mark Johnson in a dream or something is what the movie would be about.
Oh, a dream scenario. Like good dream scenarios of the new Heart show.
You get those two guys that are kind of similar, but one's good, one's evil. I'm the good guy, and he'd be the evil part of the image. Yeah.
Okay, the second part of this, who would play the role? Okay, you can answer this one. Who would play the role of Mark Johnson in this movie? Who would be the actor that would play the role of Mark Johnson? And who would play the role of John Bowden in this movie?
Hmm. Well, Mark and I are huge, huge Yellowstone fans. Yeah. I would say Kevin Costner would pretty much take that for him.
Okay.
So, as far as myself, Mark would probably answer that better.
Yeah, I want to hear this. I want Mark to answer that. Kevin Costner plays the role of Mark Johnson. Nice. Now, who plays John Bowden?
How about Randy Quaid? How about that?
Randy Quaid?
What do you think of that?
I just think of Christmas Vacation immediately, automatically, with the silly hat on.
Wearing the short robe.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, guys, are you going to hunt some more? Are you going to try to get some more birds?
Yeah, I'm going to head back this afternoon. I think John's got some refereeing to do tonight, so we're going to hunt our way back towards Smith Center.
Okay.
So send a warning. All the radio waves. Hey, all you birds out there, we're coming for you. We're not going to get you, but we'll scare you anyway.
Safe travels back. Mark, thank you. It's good to meet you finally.
Yeah, good to see you guys. Yeah,
absolutely. Fantastic. John, thanks for hooking us up so we could have Mark in here. And we look forward to the movie that you guys create together, and we look forward to promoting it on the radio someday down the line.